on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this box.
Welcome all, and welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
And I'm your host, Cody Van Cielalum.
Cody, it was an eventful weekend in the world of sports. So I got to know, because we had a very, very famous event this past weekend. What were your thoughts on the Masters?
The Masters went kind of like what I expected. I mean, your big hitters in Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and Bryson DeChambeau all were a part of it. And I was watching the final yesterday, and Rory McIlroy came in, like, I think it was like late in the stretch of the final with like a full like a 5-shot lead. That kind of got whittled down by Justin Rose's performance, but Rory McIlroy ultimately was able to pull away. And Rory McIlroy, I believe, is the 15th or 16th professional golfer in history to record the career Grand Slam. So that's basically winning all four major tournaments. So if I was to maybe make a football reference, that would be like you win the conference and you win the national championship.
Yeah, man, that's dope. Congrats to him. I know, like, everybody was asking, what would that? I saw one funny meme where it was like, explain this in NFL terms. And I was like, it'd probably be like if the Cowboys finally made it to the NFC Championship game. That's basically how long that drought, that's why I equate that as, because it's been a minute for Rory, and that's why I'm going to equate it to, because it'll just be so surprising that even I wouldn't even expect that. But congrats to Rory McIlroy, and it looked like, because it was like the talk of like basically Big 12 Twitter and everybody who I follow.
Yeah, I just knew everyone was talking for it. I was in a few group chats, and we all were locked in on the Masters. I mean, the Masters is always something that everybody looks forward to. I mean, you have a lot of people that may not be too familiar with golf, but they'll watch the Masters, and that's kind of like their gateway into golf. I mean, yeah, the Masters is just one of those ones. And this is the first major tournament of the year for PGA, because there are three more coming up. I think it's one in May, and there's one in June, and one that's in July. I don't remember the exact like timeline of it, but I know you have the British Open, you've got the PGA Championship, and I think there's one more that I'm forgetting the name of. But
there's the US Open.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, be tuned in for that. And we definitely, obviously, Cody will be tuned in, so definitely be tuned in for his summer golf takes. We had some other stuff happen in the college football world this weekend, Cody. We're talking about, basically, the talk right now in college football is Nico Iamaliava leaving Tennessee. And, like, when I saw this, when I first saw this thing, I'm like, wait a minute, what? And then, I figured out the whole thing, and I'll read some of the article that I found on CBS Sports. So basically, what they were saying, like, they'll have to find, like, now Tennessee is in the pickle because they don't have any scholarship quarterbacks. And with only two scholarship quarterbacks, they're going to have to find somebody else, especially with Nico Iamaliava not showing up to spring practice. Like and apparently there were reports saying that he was looking for a $4 million deal when he was already making $2.4 million. So there was a lot of strong pushback on for both sides. I really feel like it's both in the middle, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, Cody.
Yeah, this what's funny about this situation, I listened to Williams Bloom yesterday. This is kind of a full circle moment for University of Tennessee, because I think if you're familiar with like 2 years ago, you have the state of Tennessee, I believe they sued the NCAA for like kind of like it was like tampering or something like that. And that like in the recruitment of Nico. And now you have this where Nico's asking for more money because I believe he saw like the payroll of like some of the basketball players. And given that he's playing football, he wants to be the most paid man on campus. And that can result in the falling out. And now that he's out of Tennessee, this is kind of like a full circle moment for the state of Tennessee as a whole.
Yeah. What do you think he ends up?
I don't think if you want to avoid any bad PR, you kind of like don't want to pick up Nico, especially with how late it is in the transfer portal. But there is going to be a team that is going to be desperate for a quarterback, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like USC because of Lincoln Riley. I feel like that's the most probable spot, given that Lincoln Riley is a QB whisperer of sorts, and it wouldn't shock me if USC tries to pick up Nico, because I think USC needs a quarterback upgrade, and I wouldn't be surprised he goes to Southern California.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, maybe other people in that circle, because I know I listened to the Solid Verbal podcast when they had Ryan Abraham from the USC site, and they said they're still unsure about Jaden Maiava. So, hey, I mean, if you bring Nico in, you will definitely will have some quarterback controversy a little bit there, and have some good quarterback competition. And bring Nico in there, he'll definitely have. I think he definitely has a higher upside, especially with him being a former five star.
Yeah, and I think this kind of poses a. I think now, I think this decision here, because I remember there was something going on in Congress with that was being proposed bipartisan bill by Senator Ted Cruz and Cory Booker that had to deal with the NCAA getting these student athletes being exempt from lawsuits, just like antitrust laws. So there's a lot going into it, not just on just an athletics, but also legislatively. So I think this is gonna be a huge event that decides whether that bill gets passed into law, written into law or not. Yeah. No, I thought it started within or I think the free agency ends or transport ends in a couple
In a
weeks.
couple weeks. Gotcha.
So I think I was
I
listening to
think I was
Brent
listening
Bloom
to Brent
talk
Bloom
about it, and
talk
he
about it, and
mentioned
he's
that
mentioned
April
that
twenty fifth,
April
twenty
26th
sixth might be when the transport window closes, or something along that line. I have to listen back just to make sure. But there's
there's
something that is
something that
connected
connected
to
to
all
all
of
of this
this that's gonna be happening here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I gotta think that there's gonna be a ruling soon, and then as soon as the schools start to pay their own players, it should be interesting to see. And with that, I want to transition into more with me. Let's talk about Texas Tech and BYU. Both of these programs have major backings, Texas Tech in the oil industry, and then BYU because of the church. I mean, because you've seen both of these teams doing work in the transfer portal for basketball, and it's sort of man, they're sort of they're both just keeping up, and it seems like everybody else in the Big 12 is sort of just keeping up with the Joneses. Now they're up there with Kansas, and now Kansas has some competition in the money department.
Imagine at Texas Tech, I mean, with Darren Williams, he decided to enter the portal, and I'm assuming he's gonna also declare for the well, yeah, he also declared for the NBA draft. So I'm wondering if obviously he looks like a solid NBA prospect,
Solid
but I
NBA
wonder if he's
prospect, but I
using
wonder if
this
he's using
as
this like
leverage
leverage
for
for
more
more
NIL. I mean,
NIL.
you
I
saw
mean, you
Texas Tech
saw
bring
Texas Tech
back, was it
bring back, was it
JT
JT
Toppin,
Toppin,
and I believe they
and
brought
I
back
believe they
Christian
brought back
Anderson,
Christian
or
Anderson.
is he going to the
Yeah.
draft?
No,
Yeah.
they brought back Christian Anderson too.
So I'm guessing, I mean, those two were probably around the $3 to $4 million mark, because I remember
I remember
JT Toppin
JT Toppin
was
was
earning an estimated $4 million out of the NIL, and I think Christian Anderson would be around that range. So I wouldn't be surprised if Darren Williams is
Darren
around
Williams is
that
around that
ballpark as well.
ballpark as well. Yeah, I mean, well, especially just now with, I feel like this is going to turn a lot of people off, especially basically with college players going with contract negotiations. But I mean, honestly, I don't think that the players really here are to blame, because they I think we've referred to this before. The NCAA had a chance to do this in the 80s or the 90s, where they could have paid players back then, and they decided not to do it. So I mean, this the NCAA is just having more pie in their face day by day by day by day by day, and now the system is just becoming broken.
I think it's just like just the selfishness of like some suits kind of like back in the 90s, 80s and 90s. We're now feeling the side effects of it, and it's just one of those things where like you still have a try to weather storm. And I think this comes back to Iowa State, because Iowa State, you know, like we have a solid back, but we're not like as deep of pockets as a Texas Tech, a BYU, or say a Wisconsin.
Yeah, so hoping that Cytown is everything that we hope that it is. And I have another gripe, Cody. There was another team that decided to sell beer, and this one is a religious institution. Did you see that Notre Dame is going to start selling beer at their games?
Yep.
I was like, so wait a minute. So you're telling me Notre Dame can sell beer, but we can't?
Yes, and I made the quote, at the rate that we're going, BYU and Utah are going to sell beer before Iowa State ever does. Are we serious?
It's an absolute joke, man. I don't understand.
I mean, I've tried to, like, ask this, but I'm at the point where, like, I just don't care, because it's like, what's even, like, we know, like, they're never going to do so, like, and just all the comments within the last, like, the whole thing, just, it's just a shitstorm. And I'm just disappointed. It's like, how are we letting a religious school like Notre Dame doing this before we do? And then I make the joke right to self. At the rate we're going, the Mormons are going to start selling beer in Lavelle Edwards and Rice Eccles before we ever do.
Exactly. It makes no sense, man. Like, I just, the amount of money that you can make and the revenue that you can make, especially if you're trying to make more money in a landscape where it's keeping up with the Joneses. We got to make as much money as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, you can also, like, you have the We Will beers that you can also sell at these places that can also benefit the student athletes. So that way you can maybe try to bring in a much, like, a talented, like, transfer, or, like, you can keep your guys, be a better, easier chance of, like, you have a higher probability of keeping these players with, like, more money, obviously.
Right.
I'm seeing what expect Noyes, Cyrus, and Deshaun Jackson out of Pitt. They're going to be making a lot of money. I mean, the guys from Iowa State, they have made a good amount of money.
Right. So, I mean, it really should be interesting to see, because I keep hearing that it's going to have to slow down at some point. But, like, I feel like that's wishful thinking right now, because it hasn't slowed down yet, and I don't think it's going to slow down at any time soon at all. To be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just imagine it, like, as a right where I'm at right now, I'm glad, like, it's like, I want to be able to enjoy, like, college sports. But, I mean, this may turn up, like, how this goes, depending on how this falls in the next few months, it may turn a lot of people off, like, from college sports, just because of, I don't know, just a lot of things. And, I mean, you're making, like, I think you're already making, like, a good amount of people bend over backwards almost. Now, as for more, there comes a point where people's pockets, like, run out, and I think it's the case with me right now, obviously, being a student. Like, who knows where my fees are going to.
Right, exactly. You're already paying tuition for school, and now you're asking me for more money. Like, for me, I'm already paying, like, what, $30 for a ticket? Sometimes I'll pay for a hotel. I got to pay for gas to come out here, and I do that probably 4 or 5 times out of the year. So you want me to now start paying, like, giving more money? I get the whole point, but, like, man, is there comes a point where, like, you're stretching people's pockets, man.
Yeah, I think it's just, like, that's just kind of the reality we have right now. Like, it's just, we're just, I think that's just reality is, it's just, it just, that comes down to it. And I think eventually this will get settled. I think we're going to be able to circle back. I think this thing may, if it gets out, like, a hand, it's going to come crashing down, and then we'll be kind of, like, in a reset. And I think that's where you can expect, like, different things. And that's what I'm expecting. At some point here, within the next, like, 10 to 15 years, you could possibly see a reset in the market and whatnot.
That's what I'm thinking, because I think this can't last forever. And just, like, knowing college football, and, like, if they try to do that Super League, it's not going to be successful. I can already tell you now, like, because it's just, like, the way college sports is, like, you can't make it like a mini NFL. The NFL is the NFL, and it works, because, like, I just feel like there's not that many casual fans to begin with. Plus, the people that our casual fans watch the NFL more. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
And this kind of, like, I think, like, just thinking of a point where, hold on, I'll lose my train. But it had something to do with some, like, with, like, meteorized deals and whatnot. I think it's somewhere around there. Like, I lost my train of thought for a second. But, yeah, this somewhere in that mark, like.
Huh. I just got, I'm like, this is just something that I got live on the thing. Apparently, Max Crosby is going to be named the assistant GM for football at Eastern Michigan University. So, interesting development there. Mm-hmm. Like, what you're seeing is a lot of these NFL guys have become GMs. Like, you see Andrew Luck being the GM at Stanford, and, like, he's in charge of the coaching search.
Yeah. Okay, I think I got my train of thought back. It's like, because, like, the way the NFL is popular, like, obviously it's the most popular thing, but the way they do things is, like, they monetize just about anything and everything. Like, you know, like, you have all those, like, off-season shows where, like, they do the draft, free agency, and all that. I think college should be able to do something like that where, like, they, like, do stuff like in the offseason to monetize that way. You can keep up, really, because that's one of the things that is why the NFL is so popular, is because they're able to monetize about anything and everything they could do. So imagine where you're making a show about different offseason moves for a team, like put it on like a big television network, and then you have people talk about like transfer portal news, things like about the college football playoff or something, or just something.
Might as well. I mean, we got to stop pretending. We got to stop. The NCAA needs to stop pretending that they're still student athletes. Like, they're just,
yeah,
they're,
yeah,
really,
we,
just,
we
athletes.
Know it's a business.
We're way past that now. Like, college football,
yeah,
is a business.
Yeah. Yeah, we've known this. Like, I've known this for like the past 5-10 years. Just like, once I got to campus, I'm like, yeah, this is a business. Like, you see why people are telling, like, they're advertising, they're marketing you to buy these things. It's because they have that revenue flow to pay like the players. Like, we've known this is happening for a while. So, yeah, that's all the NCAA needs to do is just move from the fact that this is no longer the 80s and 90s. We're not dealing with the great, Miami teams of the 80s. You're not dealing with Nebraska dynasty, Notre Dame, Lou Holtz era. It's time to just move into the new reality that we're facing right now.
Sorry about that, guys. There has been a little bit of technical difficulties. Cody froze. But as soon as we get him back, he was going into a new point. Cody was basically saying that in this new form of college football, that the NCAA just needs to stop fooling itself and is thinking that it's not the 80s and 90s anymore, and that, like, we need to start paying these players and call them just athletes. Like, yes, they are sort of students, but now with the type of money that they're making, like, now they're basically just like almost semi-professional athletes. So I think that's where he was trying to go with that, and hopefully at some point he will join us again. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about was, does having money equal success? I think with this question, like, you really, really got to ask yourself, like, one of the questions that I was asked is, how are you spending this money? Are you spending it smart? Like, are you spending it just for the sake of spending because you have it? Like, I feel like when you go into the portal, like, obviously, because, you know, there's obviously going to be players and they're going to be like hired mercenaries and they're going to be on like 1-year contracts and like transferring out every year. But like, the transfer portal is not really a guarantee for you to get better. Like, obviously, you got to know that, like, the talent that you pick up in the portal.
Sorry about that. Welcome to.
All right. Hey, you're back.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I guess this is the struggling. Again, as a college student, this struggle trying to record on campus because, you know, like, the internet just randomly went out.
I get it, man. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, can you finish your thought?
Yeah, I was, like, kind of, like, talking about, like, the old, like, college football days. Yeah, we're not dealing with, like, the dynasties like the Tom Osborne, like the Miami Hurricanes, like we're in a whole different realm where anything and everything that could be monetized will be monetized. And like the dollar is the biggest thing. So the thing suits the NCAA needs to realize that they need to evolve with the times, because the old saying goes, evolve or die. This is just what it is. It's natural. It's almost like natural selection. Like you see, like I don't think you want like team, like you know how like Oregon State and Washington State ended up in the position that they were. It stems from what happened in the 80s and 90s and people not moving on from it. So now you don't want that. If you're like a team like Iowa State, you don't want to end up in that situation or end up in another rendition of the Big 12 missile crisis.
If we want to be good and continue to be good, this is what we got to do, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a credit to the fact that we've already kept, like, both TJ and Matt Campbell in Ames, like, so you know that they, like, they truly are, like, that's the thing with Iowa State, that a lot of, like, other fan bases are not exactly, because, I mean, with, like, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the Michigans of the world, you have a lot of, like, the casual, like, the more casual fans who aren't necessarily, like, tuned into all sports on a normal basis, like, I mean, the term Walmart fan exists, like, classify like casual fan like that. At Iowa State, you don't really have that because if you're an Iowa State fan, you're like the old saying, like the saying goes, loyal forever true. Like you're just a ride or die for Iowa State, and that's just the position that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
There or they went there themselves. And obviously, not having like bandwagon fans and t-shirt fans is actually it's great. Obviously, maybe you know if Iowa State keeps winning, we're gonna continue to have. We're probably going to have t-shirt fans at some point if we get to a level where we're consistently winning like double-digit games and making the playoff every year. If we get to that. But there are a few more questions I want to ask, and then we'll end it. But the first question I have, does having money equal success?
I think having a deeper bag can help, but it's not the ultimate factor. I mean, we have prime cases of this happening around the Big 12. I mean, you look at what happened with Kansas. You saw how much money they were dropping on the players like Zeke Mayo, Rylan Griffin, AJ Store. And you saw how they ended up, and then you kind of saw the same thing with Kansas State and how much they dropped for Coleman Hawkins. That didn't necessarily turn out well. And then, like, Iowa State, we use them as a great example. We don't necessarily have the deepest bag, but that means, but we find guys who really fit in our system, that fit our culture, and they're much more effective because, like, the biggest thing for a successful team is, like, do the pieces fit together well? And it's the culture fit for, like, what the team expects. That's the thing that, like, that's why I see a lot of, like, I don't know. Just the whole thing with Jefferson and like the money deal is like people, you're gonna have those cases where guys may have a little more money, but you know, like they are a good fit. And that's clearly what Jefferson was like, because like that was the biggest deal for Iowa State. The biggest priority was securing Milan, Heyman, Jefferson. Those three were the biggest like priority, because who knows if Iowa State didn't have the money they did, and I don't know the exact numbers. Imagine that Iowa State loses Tame Lipsey, Milan Momcilovic, and Joshua Jefferson all within like the last couple of years. Who knows where Iowa State could have been in, but the guys money played a factor for all three of them, but the ultimate thing was, did the culture fit? And this is like what the guys wanted out of their college basketball career. And that's what Iowa State has been able to do, is like make it fit. Like the biggest thing for success is fitting the pieces together. Do they gel well?
I will say is that the ability to retain players, and also just like with TJ and Matt, like having the type of players that want that, you know, they are looking still, they are still like sort of old fashioned, still want to get like an education, but also still want to win and like play hard and like earn your spot. So like, you know, like credit for both of them trying to find guys. And like, obviously, you know, as I said on the podcast yesterday, I said culture is an overused word, but it really is important. So, I mean, when you have that culture and you develop that, and then you have other people that come in, like, cause you know, because AJ and Chase, who just came in, or not AJ, like, what do you think the best way is to build a roster now in current console ball?
I think the best, think way, the for best me, way for like me, how I build like my how roster, build my how I would build a roster is kind of looking for maybe like those, like you're obviously going to look at the high star players, and the first question I'm going to ask is, are you willing to do like X, Y, and Z? If you aren't, then that can automatically, or like, what's the biggest thing like for like the player, I guess? Is it like winning, or is it like money? And then like I would, if I saw like money was a thing for them or whatever, that's the only thing they care for, then he'd be like, okay, thank you very much. Move on to the next candidate, because they're there for the money. They're not necessarily there for success, and you can tell. Now, that may be a little controversial, but it's how I would run it. It's like the biggest thing for me is like producing on and off the field. You're producing like not just great athletes, but also great like young leaders, because I know there's, you're going to get like the status true is like you only get like what 1% or so of like college athletes go to the NFL. So I want to be able to have the guys that I know I can prepare them for life, like after like football or whatever. So that's going to be something to look at. Number two. Are like do they like the culture, like what's their like the track record, I guess, maybe, because like it can give me a indication of what the character is, and are they willing to adopt some of these things, like are they willing to adopt like something different from what they used to have back at like their old school. So it's just a matter of culture fit and leadership for me.
I knew there was a reason why you're called Matt Campbell impersonator. No, I feel like I would be the same way. Like my first question would be like, why are you here? Like, what's your intentions here? Like, do you want to win, or are you here just to get a bag? Because there's plenty of other schools that will be able to give you a bag, and there ain't no problem with that. It's just that here, like, yeah, you'll get paid. We'll teach you, you know, to be a better young man. And if you are good enough, you'll get paid when you get to the NFL. Like this program has proven with the, I'll say the last 5 years of putting players into the NFL. And, you know, like Will McDonald, I think, was one of the first NIL guys, and he decided to stay, and he could have went anywhere in the nation. And he ended up being a top 15 pick in the draft. So now he's a multimillionaire. Brees stayed, and he, you know, like, I mean, there's so many examples in this program. And then second, I would say, is like looking for the type of guys, it'd be similar to you, looking for a type of guys that fit that hardworking like lunch pill like culture, and really finding guys that fit that mold and are willing to come in and work hard. Now obviously, like, I will use the portal for like supplemental moves that I know, let's say if like we're pretty young at a position, I feel like I would probably go into a portal and try to get some more experience. And that's exactly what Iowa State did this year, going, getting two experienced receivers. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, maybe like also look at a recruit, like just this is another example, like Xavier Townsend is a guy that we recruited way back in 2021. Mm-hmm. But he still had a good relationship. It didn't burn bridges, and he was still tight with Rocco. Like, you know, maybe if he has an ongoing relationship with him, and like one of the players can vouch for him, then hey, you know, let's try and re-recruit him and try to bring him back. And that's and it worked. Yeah. You know, I definitely, that would also be my approach.
Yeah, and I mean, mentioned like maintaining a good brace. That's an example of like the manner of professionalism that like is going to be taught like at a program like Iowa State. It's just like how you conduct yourself, and the fact that Xavier Townsend maintained that brace, maintained like a relationship with Rocco Beck, like that earned him opportunity. So that's a learning lesson for young guys as well. It's like always keeping things open. Do your, like, maintain these like good relationships, because you don't know if you're ever going to need them. So that's just the life skill that you're going to have. So that's just an example. And I mean, back to football, I mean, realistically, I know, I remember it's like our only big loss was Tyler Onyedum, because I think he wanted to play at a place closer to home, and he still maintained a great, like, I think he still has a great relationship with Iowa State. Like, never, like, shunned Iowa State, because he loved his contributions for Iowa State. And obviously, if a guy wants to play closer to home, then that's a decision that I can respect. Because, like, yeah, I mean, a lot of guys, like, they have different motives. And playing, like, closer to home is a big one, especially if, like, families that they deal with you. Because, obviously, you're going to have, a good family, like, at a place like Iowa State. But it always feels a little better when you get to play closer to you, like, to your actual family.
Yeah, and I don't blame him for that at all. And I remember when he left, like, a lot, there wasn't really any, like, discord in the fan base. It's like, hey, we understand you want to play far from home, and you got a bag. Hey, we wish you the best of luck. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you just chalk it up and then move on. But, yeah. So, like, with that, and obviously with the NBA playoffs and the NBA play-in coming up, why don't you talk about our sponsor, MyBookie, Cody.
Yeah, MyBookie is our presenting sponsor. And yeah, I mentioned the NBA playoffs are starting to heat up. I know I got some good friends like who are Minnesota Timberwolves fans, and they're hoping that the Minnesota Timberwolves get a top six seed. And I mean, they recently beat the Utah Jazz here. And take a look here, Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls are playing, and that's going to be important for the NBA playoffs because I believe they're both in the play-in tournament, Tyler.
They are both in the play-in tournament. Hopefully, Josh Giddey can come back and make it because he's injured currently. So hopefully he can make it back for the play-in. And hey, I mean, honestly, they had the same record as they did last year. But I honestly feel more hopeful since this team is a lot more younger than what they used to be.
Yeah, and I mean, Chicago Bulls, like, with Josh Giddey being out, you know, Kobe White is going to have to follow a little more, so that I think it might be a good time to go onto my bookie and probably put the under on the total points for Kobe White.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see. And also, you know, like, these playing matches are going to be fun, so make sure you type in our promo code MM50 at MyBookie. Make sure you mention the Believe in Iowa State podcast when you sign up. And if you know ball, make some money. All right. So with that being said, I still have one more news. Just a reminder that we have a bonus show on Wednesday and that Taylor Mauser joins the pod. Not next Wednesday, but this upcoming Wednesday. So make sure to join us on the 16th at 8 p.m. I will make sure that as soon as the show is done, I will post where you can watch. You can watch on my page at Sci-Tai Guy, and then I'll post it after the show. But basically, I just wanted to let y'all know that, put it in your guys' mind so you guys won't forget. But with that being said, we're gonna close out today's show. So thank you guys for listening to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Thank you for FeedSpot for nominating us as a top 15 sports podcast in the state of Iowa. Thank you, state of Iowa listeners. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And this is where you can find us on Twitter. You can find me, Tyler, Sci-Tai Guy. Find me at Sci-Tai Guy. And, hey, chop it up with me. I love talking to you. Talk to Cody on Twitter.
Yep. I may be in a depressing state of the brain. So, yeah, so, I'm in pain right now.
Yeah, he's in pain. I'm actually, look, I went to the White Sox game on Saturday and they won. And they won a series for the first time this year. They beat the Red Sox 2 out of 3 in Chicago. So, I'm feeling all right. At this point, if the White Sox can get me through June, and then they suck after that, I'll call that a successful season.
Fair enough. Yeah, the AL Central. Oh boy. I mean, yeah, not too far from the Twins. So I may be able to give my roommate some of the business, given that they're worse than the Red Sox.
I know the Twins stink.
Yeah.
Screw the Twins. Also, remember to follow us on social media as well. Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We can be reached on those. How do you spell Believe? BLEAV. Once again, that is BLEAV. So that is all the time we have for today. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Vanciello.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Go Cyclones.
Let's go State.
Let's go State.